Welcome to Vallejo's Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, September 3rd, 2017. The Reverend Wendy Camori Stager is preaching our sermon, Seeing and Doing. The Old Testament lesson is Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 7 through 11, and the New Testament reading is from Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46.
The lesson from the New Testament comes from the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand, and the goats at his left. The king will say to those at his right hand, Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food? Or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Then he will say to those at his left hand, You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me, naked, and you did not give me clothing, sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? And he will answer them, Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteousness, but the righteous into eternal life. Please join me in a word of prayer. God of wisdom, we open ourselves and open this scripture, longing for there to be a connection between your ancient words and our contemporary lives. Grant that your Holy Spirit might be the bridge and the interpreter, that we would hear you clearly today, and in hearing and seeing, that would lead also to the actions that you want us to be living. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever been in the mall or walking in a downtown area and be accosted by the salesperson from the kiosk or the person with those little flyers? Would you like to try hand lotion? You know, here, I got a free flyer for the restaurant down the street. Or the ones I hate worse are the ones who just start in with the pitch. Are you happy with your cell phone? I try to tend to move as far away as I can on the walkway so I don't have to interact with those folks. It's even better if there's another group of shoppers that can buffer me and I can slide over to the side. And those are the people who are, they're doing their job. They're salespeople. They're in a nice air-conditioned mall. But then there are the people who I dodge on the streets, whether it's in medians or in San Francisco along Market Street, places around here where folks are asking for something different, not so much your attention or to try their product, but shaking a cup full of change, asking for a little help. What's your usual response? I'll confess, my usual response is to do the same thing I do with a lot of those salespeople. I'll drift kind of over to the other side of the sidewalk, away from the person. That's mostly what I was taught. Just walk on by. I'm not proud of this. I also know I'm not alone in this. Sometimes I'll just cast my eyes to the ground, walk a little more quickly. If I say anything, I might mumble, sorry, or I give through my church. Because as a whole, I've been taught to kind of keep a little more distant from those folks. We do this. We distance ourselves both physically and with our language. So often when I hear us talk about our community, we can talk about the poverty problem, the income inequality gap, the homeless issue. Or use words like, they're just criminals. Make something smaller. Or those illegals. And I'm not saying I've never said those words. But there's something about the distancing, both physically and intellectually, where then we can stop seeing the pain that still persists. Because we stop seeing the people who are in that pain. Something new I had never noticed in the scripture story before was how both the righteous and the unrighteous don't see clearly what it is that they are doing. The word saw is repeated in verses 36, 37, 37, 38, 39. What is it that we saw? You were hungry. What is it we saw you were a stranger? What is it that we saw you sick? Certainly for the unrighteous, they don't see it. But even for the righteous, it is hard to see, to truly see as God sees. It's part of our human condition. We call that sin. It's part of our human condition that we can become overwhelmed. We can have compassion fatigue. God can't, but as human beings, we do get limited. But God sees each person, and especially the least of these, as precious. They are as equal in their personhood as the king is. Wow, I'm cutting in and out a lot. As the king is, as a celebrity, as precious as a member of the family, as precious as Jesus himself. We lose this perspective really easily. Sometimes we get reminded again when we can see and care for a person and a neighbor around us. I know people who remind themselves, because when they see somebody who's standing on the median, they go, that's somebody's son. And that mother is heartbroken today. Or they know, that's somebody's older brother or somebody's younger sister. Or that could be my second cousin once removed, who I know has had a hard time. That thought is about being sensitive to that person's humanity, to see them not as a problem or an issue or a societal ill, but to see them as a person in a difficult situation, a person who perhaps has made mistakes. We all make mistakes. But a person who is equally precious in God's sight. As I was working on my sermon this week and flipping through my local little Benicia magazine, just trying to see, oh yeah, when's the art walk and what's this, anything going on for families, I found something that was titled The Eye Contact Experiment 2017. And I didn't think they were talking about those things you stick in your eyeball to help you see better. So I went and looked it up, and indeed, this is a global event happening later in the month of September, where people will gather in cities and share one, individuals will sit down and share 1 minute of eye contact with a stranger. Their tagline is, "Let your eyes show the world you care." The founder, Peter Sharp, said this, "With the rise of political and environmental uncertainty, a global sense of separation and isolation has caused a disruption to society's cohesion on this planet. Sharing eye contact is something everyone has the ability to do. And when we do it, a natural sense of connection naturally arises. When we feel connected to each other, we feel more peaceful, more open to letting love into our lives, and less alone. Sharing 1 minute of eye contact enables all of this to flow without the need for even speaking the same language." Both the righteous and the unrighteous had a hard time seeing. And yet even the seeing isn't enough. The seeing needs to be linked with the doing. Seeing a person and then doing something that helps. Part of what we've been doing with hands-on mission, not just writing a check to a faraway organization, although that helps too, but doing something. This is the point in my sermon where normally I would tell a story about a person who is doing something, who saw a need in the world and responded. You claimed us as your people and made covenant to be our God. You fed us manna in the wilderness and brought us to a land flowing with milk and honey. When we forgot you and our faith was weak, you spoke through prophets, calling us to turn again to your ways. Therefore, we praise you. And we thank you for sending your Son into this world to satisfy the longings of your people for a Savior, to bring freedom to the captives of sin, and to establish justice for the oppressed. He came among us as one of us, taking the lot of the poor, sharing human suffering. We rejoice that in his death and rising again, you set before us the sure promise of new life, the certain hope of a heavenly home, where we will sit at table with Christ, our host. Remembering all your mighty and merciful acts, we take this bread.
You have been listening to Community Presbyterian Church Sermon Podcast. To learn more about Community Presbyterian Church and its ministries, come visit us at 2800 Georgia Street in Vallejo, California. Or visit our website, cpcvallejo.org. You can also email us at cpcvallejo@sbcglobal.net. Have a blessed day.